Now, if you've got your Bible with you, this morning I've been asked by Pastor Leanne to speak on a topic called loving others. I told Pastor Leanne, and I often say to every single person, I'm not very good when it comes to this sort of topic. But if you ask me how did Sodom and Gomorrah blew up with a hydrogen bomb, I can tell you a lot of stories. If you ask me, and how did the angels came and how did they look like and all the above, I tend to focus more on this. When I look at this subject, I have to be honest, Pastor Leanne is the best when she comes to speak. She's a real teacher. I'm not a teacher over here. I'm just a man who sits under the, in the side under the stairwell and just pray for all of you guys. That's all I do. And so I will do my level best and, we'll see how far we will go on the scripture. Loving others. And so I want to share this with you. The moment you and I give our hearts to Jesus Christ, there is a love and there's a grace comes into our life. Overnight we become very excited and we shake, Corey Sands, we shake, young Alicia Sands. We become really excited about this new journey going through. But somewhere along the line, when iron meets iron, when iron strikes another iron, there's a friction takes place. As soon as the friction comes through, we understand there is a, there's a misunderstanding has taken place. In that midst of all those things, you'll see a brother or a sister or another man and another woman or a man to man or a woman to woman. They will now start to select which service should I come and which service can I actually now boycott young Sonia or which service can I boycott of this young lady. So you'll try to find out, is she coming 8:30? That's good. I will come 10:30 service. If she's coming 10:30 service, that's good. I'm coming at 5 p.m. service. I want to let you know the state of the church. You've just heard the great news of what Pastor Leanne had said. How far you're going to go to the next part, to the next building that we're going to build and all the above. But for us to go to the next phase of our personal life, I just want to pour my heart out that regardless of how you feel and what you feel for each other, I just need to let you know Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary for one reason alone, L-O-V-E, love. Without that love, he would have never ever died. If I was Jesus, I would have said, blow you guys, I'm not going to lay my life. Aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? But Jesus is Jesus. I mean, he is amazing. I mean, the amount of sins I have done, the amount of sins that you guys do, the amount of sins that sometimes God shows to me about a certain person, about a certain individual in this church, I will say to God, God, how do you put up with this? I often say that. And all the time I hear, it's the one word, L-O-V-E, love. And so I want to encourage you as we go through this brand new journey where God is going to take this, bigger things are installed for us in this church. I want to encourage you that you and I need to be dictated and directed by the love of Jesus Christ. If the love of Jesus Christ it's there, it's evident, it's present in your life. You need to know how to fall in love with your brother or with your sister or whomever God has planted that person in this church. So let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 46 to 47. Now if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And so over and over again, Bible keeps on bringing about this topic of love. So let's go through the first point. And I want to bring it around the very first point back to the original screen. Let's come through the first point. And so I've decided to bring three different points today, this morning. I've been thinking, praying, mulling over it over the last 1 week or so as I was preparing this sermon. And so I've written here sincere love, and I've also said superficial greetings compared to the heart of love, a genuine heart which goes beyond the extra mile, a cultural niceness versus the Bible culture greetings. So let's go through 1 Peter 1:22. Bible says, since you've been purified, your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Let's leave the scripture over here. Could you see, since you've been purified your souls. You see, if I were to shake Sonia's hands right now, I'm shaking hands as though that my soul says to me to shake her hands. But my point is, I just want to say this to you. When you look at the realm of soul or soulish realm, you got to look at what three things. The will, the intellect, and the emotions. The will, the intellect, and your emotions. And half of the time when you start to act in the soul, you act in emotional. And then you are judging that person by your will. And then you're looking up and down intellectually where the person stands with you. And if you are starting to deal with people in the realm of soul, you are not going to appreciate any person, because every single person is going to do some sort of mistake. Every single person will get you into a place of being uppity, or you can get upset regardless of how you go through. But scripture says to me, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love. So my point is, if you are going to loving others, if you are going to love each other, then it needs to come out of the Spirit, out of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is in you, then my point is, don't get upset about it. This week, can I not record this, son? Is it okay with you? Just say there's a problem in audio. This week I met a person. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Don't say just hi. I can say, Sonia, hi. That's very fakey hi. But you can say a medium hi. That's a little more deeper. Or it says, hi. That's a lot more deeper hi. People say hi, bye. You know, that's not good enough. If you are in this church, take your time to know each other. If you are going to go somewhere with this is the third service. Yesterday evening, it was, there were a lot of people. This morning, 8:30, it was a lot of people. This is the third service. We are starting to grow and grow and grow. But my point is, if you are going to now engage with people, make an effort to know, make an effort to how to fall in love with each other, irregardless of where they've come from. Sometimes some people won't like each other, but are you making an effort to do something about yourself? So, let's go through back through screen. So, superficial greetings compared to a heart of love. Can I have the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you will also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, and if you have loved one another. And so how do we quantify ourselves? People say, people will ask you, who are you, Carol? Carol will say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. For you to quantify yourself or justify yourself that I am the disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, you got to qualify yourself that you got to know the greatest commandment of loving one another. I married my wife many, many, many years ago. I told my wife one day, I can't buy you a $1 million house, but I know how to build with a shonky workmanship that I can give it to you. And I did do the building, and eventually the building is still standing. Till this day, with all the cyclone, with all the wind, it still stands. That means Rich is a great builder. I even told Pastor Leanne, let me build the new church. It'll be free of charge. Pastor Leanne said, no, under my watch will never happen. She knows me very well. I said, I can get 1 million coconut trees from Sri Lanka. We can build it with my coconut trees. She says, no coconut trees on my building, she says. So I remembered when I was building myself and, with Rob Einzer, and then in the weekend, Ray Shaw will come and a few other guys will come and help us out. And there was a man who lives opposite to our home. One day he brought his Yashica camera and starts to take the picture of the entire house. He felt very strongly that the height of the meters has gone 11 meters high. But I can guarantee you right now, because I'm the one who's building it, it's 10 meters high. And so he took all the pictures, he sent it to the city of Joondalup with the pictures, and he wrote, and I'm protesting because this man is actually cheating us off, and he's now blocking all our views, which is true. I blocked all their views. You know, once an Indian, always an Indian. Let's all create a problem. I blocked all their views. Because today, if you, because it's first level, second level, third level, I decided to build in the attic so I can see an ocean view while I can sip my in a cup of tea. So I did, took all the views off, and people have never been happy about it. And so I'm sorry about that. But I had to put it through everything in that, you know, I had to put it through everything in, you know, basically, if, I had to put all the paperwork into, you know, into the city of Joondalup, and eventually I got approved, we got approved. But when I was building it, this man took a pic, now took all the pictures, and eventually makes a complaint. And one day I was building, this man comes in, he pulls over with his car, and as he pulls over, I could see, it says, City of Joondalup. I said, this is not good. He came in, he walked in, he says, your name is Rich. I said, yeah, my name is Rich. I said, I've got all the paperwork, it's all been planned. Yeah, your neighbors are complaining. Can I go up? And the biggest concern is, I've done all the work, it's still in the skeleton stages, and he could see some of the shortcuts I've done. Because at the end of it, I got, owner builder's license. You pay $150, $100, you'll get it just like that, owner builder's license. And so I've built up everything, but I know some of the timber work, I know some of the concrete work is not exactly lined up. I was just speaking. He goes up there, he checks me out, he checks everything up, and then, he checks all, with the tapes and all the above. And I, at the end, he came down, he said to me, I said, how is the building? You're a good builder. I said to myself, and the angels must have blinded his eyes. Not bad for a bloke like you. You said that you are building this. You do not even have credentials. You just paid $100 and you just got your owner builder's license. You know how to build this building. I said, I don't know. And, but then I said, I said, what's the height? It's 10 meters height. And eventually he said, I said, what are you going to do? And I'm going to write to this man. I said, what's the cost? I think this man is jealous of you, Rich. That was his words. He was jealous of you. And so he got, he went back and he sorted out with this old bloke, and he said, no, the building is in regulation. We got no issues. We got no problems. The building will keep on going up. Eventually, subsequently, a number of years down the track, he finally passes away. He dies. Leaves a beautiful wife, a widow. And I remembered my wife and I one day, this was a kind of an Easter weekend. And all of a sudden, at about, say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody just knocks at our door. And all of a sudden, my wife opens up and she sees the lady who's the widow, the husband who actually gave us the problem. She was knocking at the door and she says to my wife, she says, I took off the fly wire gate in the backyard to do window cleaning. I do not know how to put it back again. Can you come and help me out? My wife said to me, sweetie, can you go and help? I went at the back. Cleaned up everything. There were certain things that was blocking. Put it up. Make it right. And as I went out, and she says, my husband was never nice to you. Why are you really nice to me? You see what Bible says? I just want to say, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've got to know how to love even when your neighbors are not nice. Don't. So if you are in this church, if for us to grow somewhere, if someone has said something wrong, please forgive them. Sometimes in this church, every single church, there is what we call territorial turfs. This is my ministry. That's my ministry. You can't come into my turf. I can't come into your turf. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am right now? Pastor Leanne has put me up. Please, guys. My point is, we are here to only to dedicate Jesus Christ. Our point is to magnify God. Someone once said, the church of Jesus Christ is still under construction. And so there are so many ministries. You've got the men's ministry, you've got the women's ministry, you've got the Sate ministry, you've got the Chakwaitiai ministry, whatever ministry you've got. My point is, I just want to let you know right now, if each one of those, if we can cross-pollinate, what's wrong with it? Whenever we cross-pollinate, something beautiful comes up. My wife and I cross-pollinate, we got our children, beautiful tan. Have you ever seen that? My boys don't look like me. My boys look like slightly, but looks like rather Spanish tan. Cross-pollination is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But we don't cross-pollinate. One ministry won't talk to this ministry. This ministry won't talk to that ministry because they're all afraid. Are they going to take my turf? Are they going to take my patch away? Jesus never operated that way. I just want to say this to you right now. God has called you for a greater part. So, let's go through the scripture. Where am I? Number one or am I number two? Number two. A genuine heart which goes beyond the extra mile. Can I have John chapter 15 verse 13? The book of John chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Isn't that beautiful? Would you do that for your friend? Would you think about doing it in your friend? And so now, can I give you a warning to all of you guys today? And so, Gail, are you doing a roast this afternoon? No? No, right now. Are you doing a roast this afternoon? No. Are you doing a roast this afternoon? Because very soon I'm just going to upset your appetite this afternoon. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share with you a very yucky story. And so some of you guys will have no more appetite after the service to have a great lunch. So if you're thinking of going to a hawker center or whatever restaurant is, you're going to lose all your appetite to eat. So I'm giving you what, like an insurance broker, a disclaimer. All right? Listen very carefully. I've been married to my wife only about 2 to 3 months. The Assemblies of God in Sri Lanka contacted me and they said to me, we want you to come and preach the gospel of Jesus in Sri Lanka. So for the first, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days, the ministry went really, 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 really well. One day, a loving couple came up to me and they've been following me for the last, say, 7, 8 days. And I think Pastor Lien, I might have told Pastor Lien, so Pastor Lien, my wife, I've asked permission from my wife to share this story. She said, go, but then you might upset a number of people. So I'm going to tell you right now. So in the process of it, as I was ministering, this couple asked me to come down, come down to have a meal. And all of a sudden, my bowel system starts to work terribly. And so now you know where the story is going right now. I had to go to the loo. And I don't know how many men will do, or how many blokes over here will do this. Men have got a terrible way of doing things. When we sit down in the cubicle, we tend to play around with our wedding band. You see this wedding band? See, now everyone now knows where this story, I can see this lady's face. It's starting to turn. Men, blokes, how many men will do that in the toilet? Oh my goodness, I must be the only one here right now. So I took this wedding band, brand new wedding band, just been married. And, it's a very different cubicule compared to Australia. When you look at Sri Lankan cubicle. And so anything, everything goes, it goes straight into the pipe path. It's a lot more detailed and gory, isn't it? It's not like one of those ones when something falls away, it stays here. But this one just goes down. And so in the process of it, as I was sitting down, I was thinking and praying about all this thing. And all of a sudden, I just lost my thing and it just went in. My wedding band. This is the wedding band. Same old wedding band. Would you want it? 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 I think Pastor Leanne knows. You remember the story? Yeah, Leanne knows. This wedding band went. And I broke down. I cried. But, I quickly wiped my tears off. I washed my hands. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I broke down. I cried. Been married 3 months to Karen. Came out of it. And I came out and started to have my dinner back again. But the host of the house looked at me. Is everything all right with you, Pastor Rich? I said, why? Oh, you were very bubbly before you went off. Now you seem to be very gone, very quiet. And then he looked at me. He says, where is the wedding band? And then I said, sir, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is what happened. He said, I'm so sorry. The Sri Lankan tubes are very different to the tubes that you guys got it. It goes straight to the central system. I said, well, I can't do anything much about it. I will face the music when I get back home with my wife. And I'll tell her, and eventually I'll get Pastor Neil Moore to come back again. I had a plan with my wife. I'll get Pastor Neil Moore to come back again, buy another ring from Zemmels, and then ask him to do the whole vow back again, and I'll put the ring back again. It'll be okay. But lo and behold, this guy has only known me for 8 days. How long has he known me? 8 days. And I was there for 15 days. You know what he does? He did. He gets very upset about it. He never showed this with me. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm just trying to, can we have the scripture over? Don't keep on bringing back again. Can we have the scripture over here? John 15 verse 13. Can I have the scripture back? And just leave it over here. Don't go until I say so. Someone is over there just moving very quickly things out. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And this man decides and says, I need to get this ring. So he goes down to a steel factory in Sri Lanka. He buys a long steel from, right up through, where the clock is, right up through this. And he starts to put it through. And he puts a hook like this and he puts it through. As soon as he puts it through, his entire hand, half of this rod, his hand goes inside the system as well. And you know what? He just kept on wiggling it. 3 hours he was wiggling it with his hands over, right over here, and goes in. Wiggle it. And finally, he pulls the ring out. On the 11th day, on the 10th or 11th day, he took it from his pocket. Pastor Rich, your ring. I broke down. I cried. I did not know what to say. And then as soon as he gave me this ring, he says to me, I took it and then I sterilized with hot water. I was not happy about it. I took it and then I put liquid detergent. And cleaned up. I was not happy. Finally, I took it to a goldsmith. And then I asked him to refine the gold back again and kill every bacteria that could be there. So now you'll say, I want to touch your ring right now. Now the ring has been completely refined by fire. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Who would do that? A man who has known me only for 10 days. And puts his arm right up through into the system and pulls it out. Would you do that for your friends? Love. Loving others. He's not my biological brother. He's just a brother. He's just a Christian brother. That's all he is. Nothing more, nothing less. Till this day, he often speaks to my other pastor. His name is Anton. And he'll still say, how is that Pastor Rage where he lost his wedding band? Till this day, he remembered. And that was so many years ago. Just been married to my wife. 3 months into the marriage, I lost this wedding band. Number 3, can I kindly bring the next point right at this moment? And it's a cultural niceness versus the Bible culture greetings. Can I have 1 Corinthians 13:13? Pastor Leanne often says, no one can share this awkward stories except for Rich Mraz. He will always know how to get away with it. No other pastors can get away with it. I am thankful for that to God. And now abide faith, hope, love. These 3, but the greatest of this is love. Faith is good, hope is good, but love. It says here, love this 3, but the greatest of this is love. I think as a church of Jesus Christ, 13 years we built this church. 4.5 years it took to pay this entire building for $2.1 million. To all the things God has done in this church right now, can I say the one and only thing I'm asking, can we express love to each other? Can we be more patient? Can we be more gracious to each other? Can we become more hospitable? Can we touch other person's life? Can we become a role model on behalf of my Jesus Christ? It's a very simple teaching. But sometimes it's nice to go back to the basics. Just to know who we are, what we are, as a complete human race, and within the human breed that we are in, sometimes there are certain things we do not like about ourselves. But that's why Jesus came. That's why he came and died for your sins and for my sins. And because of this, today, he has shown me that love. And now, I'm showing the same love to you guys. Let's go through the second point. What does the second point say? If we were to come through the second point, and so can we, brotherly or sisterly love, we are called and saved by grace. Now we have to act out the grace. And I've said, holier than thou attitudes. Holier than thou attitudes. So what does 1 Samuel 18 verse 3 says? Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Because he loved him as his own soul. Because he loved him as his own soul. In other translation, there is a word called, on behalf of loved, there's a word called knitted, K-N-I-T-T-E-D. In other words, there are 2 kinds of knitting goes to. Every one of you guys know this story, every one of you guys will know, this title called soul ties. So whenever the Church of Jesus Christ speaks about soul ties, we often speak about the ungodly soul ties. Would you agree with me? We don't seem to speak about the godly soul ties. The Church of Jesus Christ sometimes focuses a lot of negative aspects than rather the positive aspects of it. So the positive aspect on this scripture says, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. In this particular scripture, the word loved, in other translation it says knitted. In other words, they had a godly soul tie, not an ungodly soul tie. My point to this church is right now, today if you are in the Church of Jesus Christ and you call this church as your church, I want you to be knitted to a person in a godly form, in a godly soul tie, like the way that young Jonathan and David were able to have that friendship. That's the sort of friendship that you and I have to ask for. Pastor Leanne and I married Lundy, Steve Lundy and Yumi on Friday. Down in the Mulberry Farm, facing towards the Swan River. Wonderful landmark. It was a wonderful marriage, wonderful wedding, except for the flies. 15 flies was on my face. The entire time, Stephen Lundy has to just shush off everything. But you know what I liked about them? They were you can ask Pastor Leanne. Pastor Leanne and I are, we come together, two for the price of one. Every wedding we do, we will always do it together. I always tell Pastor Leanne, I'm not going to do this on my own. I want you to come with me. So we'll do every wedding together. And so I remembered so many years I've been marrying couples. But this is the first time a couple comes, Yumi comes up to me, and Stephen Lundy comes up to me, and they says to me, 60% of the people who are going to be sitting down there are non-Christians. We want you to have an evangelistic outreach work. You have to share your story and you have to win some souls for God. First couple I've ever come across. Happens a lot in Singapore, Malaysia, India, Sri Lanka. Happens a lot. Most couples in Singapore, India, Sri Lanka, they'll say, Pastor Rich, we want you to do it and we want you to bring an evangelistic outreach work. And I looked at Lundy and I looked at Stephen. I said, are you guys for real? I've done this in the past, but I've never done within an Australian context. No, because 60% of the people are not Bible-believing born-again Christians. You see, they had a love, something knitted. They just felt that they should not hold the gospel to their heart. The gospel should be completely preached to every single person. On that wedding day, in that morning, as soon as I finished that, and then I said, this is on behalf of the couple, I need to now share something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Started to share about my testimony, what God did, how God did, and all the above. People bowed their heads, but unfortunately, no one put their hands up. But at least, for the first time, some of those people heard the gospel of Jesus, and the seed was planted. I want to encourage you. I just want to let you know. It's an amazing couple, Stephen Lundy, and now she's now known as Yumi Lundy. Just Stephen and Yumi Lundy. They just got married 3 days ago. Ask me, would you preach the gospel? We want you. Again, at that, as I'm standing, and he's wearing a jacket, and he says to me, you haven't forgotten, have you? You are still preaching the gospel. Powerful, isn't it? Let's go through a second point on this one, and let's look at how the love of God will go through. Can we come back again? We seem to be standing over here. We are called and saved by grace. Can I have the scripture? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. The gift of God. You see, you loving each other, you falling in love with another brother, you falling in love with another sister, it's the gift of God. It's what you are imparting in that person's life right now. You see, this gift was never meant to be given to you, and you keep it as though it's like a club. It's not a club, but rather it's a public club for everyone to come in, to everyone to know who Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You see, sometimes you don't even have to. People will say to me, how do you really share the gospel, Rich? Because every time I share the gospel, people put a blind shutters, or people will put a brick wall. My point is this. People are sick and tired of you and I sharing the gospel, because people are more interested, how do you live out of Jesus Christ? families will come and specifically they will say to me, I can't seem to win my brother for God. I can't seem to win for my my mother for God. I can't seem to win my husband for God. I will often say, are you walking in the love of Jesus Christ? You see, some people, they want the salvation message as soon as possible. You can lecture until the cows comes back home. But if you do not live out the life of Jesus, they will never give their hearts to Jesus Christ. You got to live them. You got to live out. They'll look at you, the love that you're pouring. Eventually they say, why do you love so much? You see what I'm trying to say? A door gets opened up and that's where you hit and you strike and you start to speak Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we share the gospel, we start to lecture and teach. People no longer wants lecturing or teaching. People want to know, how are you going to walk in the presence of God? And that's what it says, the gift of God. Can we come back to the original point? Now we have to act out in grace. Can I have the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7? To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so there is grace. God has given a level of grace in our personal life. In the level of grace, extend that grace over and over again. Sometimes husbands and wife will come to me and they'll say to me, Pastor Rich, you need to pray for my wife. I said, why? She's got a spirit of Jezebel. I said, what? She's got a spirit of Jezebel. A lot happened in this church and outside of church. And then God says to me, no, she's not Jezebel. So I asked, and sometimes I'll ask a question. I said, have you been lawn mowing around the house? He says, no. Have you been cleaning around the house? No. Have you been, cooking for your wife every so often? No. So what do you do exactly? I lie down on the couch and have potato chips. I often say this, a lot of people come up to me and say to me, no, my wife is a Jezebel and this and that. And I said, son, if you decide not to walk in the mantle of what God has given to you, and if you're not acting like a husband, your wife is going to fill all the blanks. When your wife fills all the blanks, I'm just telling you right now, you've just lost your moral authority to run the house. Don't call your wife as a Jezebel. She's actually making you a lot more pretty and handsome than right at this moment. Because she has picked up every single role. You see, people come up to me, people say to me, sometimes a wife will come up and say to me, my husband has got a spirit of Absalom. I said, really? Yeah. I said, why? I said, what's happened? And the wife will say all the above. And then I'll say to the wife, because you like to micromanage everything, you micromanage all the things, your husband can't play a role. Am I right to say that? You see, in a marriage, there's what we call, there should be a give and a take. There should be some grace which should be given to each other and to work out with each other. And if you don't have that grace, then, that marriage suffers a lot. And especially with husbands, they will say, she's pushing my button. Or she's pushing my button. I often say, there's a carol here. People come into the church. I do not like carol. Carol, this is just an example. Carol is actually beautiful. Am I right, Kevin? Carol is beautiful. Kevin just will shake. He'll just shake his head everything I say, yes. That's right, she says. You see, I often come and say, people will come and they will say, I don't like Carol. And they said, Pastor Rich, I like your church. I like you. I like Pastor Leanne. I do not like Carol. I said, where are you going? Victory Life. I said, fantastic, go. You know what? There's another Carol waiting for her in Victory Life. Oh, there's another Carol. Her name is not Carol. Her name is Rhonda, but she's like a Carol. Pastor Leanne will get a call, or I'll get a call, and I'll say, how's your trip? No, there's another Carol. And I'm going to leave the church, Pastor Leanne. I said, okay, we'll pray. Then they will go to Metro Church. Another Carol is waiting for her there as well. It's not Carol, it's you. You got to change. And then from Metro, then they go to Kingdom City Church right now, and another Carol, hi, it says that. 18 months later, they come to the same church. And then they'll say, I think I can handle Carol now, Pastor Rich. I said, what took you so long? You see, if you do not know how to handle Barbara, Carol, Pastor Leanne, or Rich Marias, or Shanti, or whoever it is, there'll be that Carol, that Barbara, that Leanne will be all waiting for all other places. If you decide to say, I'm not going to go to church, there will be a Carol waiting for you in your job. If you're not going to handle Carol, that if you're saying, I don't want to work anymore, there will be a Carol waiting at the checkout girl. She's pushing my buttons. He's pushing my buttons. Everyone, I get push buttons all the time. I got so many Carols. I got so many Barbaras. I got so many Rondas. Have you ever seen the women around me right now? All the women who work around me, they all are very big personalities. Don't go very far. Look at my own wife. To work alongside Pastor Leanne is a big personality. To work alongside to Auntie Lorette, she's a big personality. I've got all these ladies who make me great. I'm not threatened. I'm not threatened anyway, former chef. I enjoy how they do it. They make me better, and I just laugh at them, what they have to say. They pick up all the pieces. Oh, Rip. Oh, Pastor Rich will never get this thing done. But I'm comfortable. Out of them, God has taught me something in my life. Can I say this? There's an extension of grace. So if this person is going to be a pain, and if this Margaret says, I don't like, God is trying to teach you something. Don't say that. If you don't deal over here, even in your bus stop, even when you get in the bus, there will be another Margaret waiting for you. Can I say this? If you are going to say to me, I want to go somewhere with this church, hear my heart out. There are a lot of pastors in this city has actually rejected me. A lot of stories goes on right through. On Friday morning, Pastor Leanne and I had to go through in this particular place, and I'm not going to name the place because all of you guys know. At least 40-50% of the pastors that I saw, none of the 40-50% pastors liked me at all. Stood in front of it, shook everyone's hand, and hugged every single person. I plead and seal the blood of Jesus over them. You see, that's what God is asking for. Could you extend the grace of God? Now we are called by, now we have to act out in grace. Let's go through holier than thou attitude. Can I have the book of Proverbs chapter 10 verse 12? Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Why do you think I love you guys? Even though sometimes some of us can be a pain in the neck. But I still will always love you. Someone will come and hug. This person has been speaking about you for the last 18 months around the city. This person you are hugging last 6 months has been speaking against you. I will still love you. I'll still hug you. Why? This is the scripture. Hatred stirs up strife. But Bible says, but love covers all sins. You don't have to go and do a confessional box to God. My Lord, forgive me. God is always forgiving. But if you love, if you put your love an extended mile, that love will actually take all the sins away. You remember the wedding last year that we all, the whole entire world that I actually saw. Meghan Markle got married to Prince Harry. And we had this funny American wonderful pastor. He brought this message. All he spoke for the next 30 minutes is love, 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 love. You remember that? He was hilarious, and I thought he was fantastic. He says, if we had love, we would have never gone World War I. If we had love, we would have never gone into World War II. We would have not gone through the Vietnam War. We would have not gone through the Falklands War. We would have not gone through any of those wars if the whole world loves each other. I want you guys to know this out of your heart. Love. Sometimes it's hard. But you got to know how to force yourself to love, because God is doing, people say, I've got issues. If you got issues, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit on the issues, or are you going to say, God, take the issues. I want to change and I want to take these issues. I want to work in love. Last point. Can I couple of, let's go through very, very quickly right now. Let's finish. The last part of it is pure love. Can I have Colossians 3 verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. So if you're saying to me, I want to have a bond of perfection, put on your love. That is the bond of perfection. One has to know how to laugh like a hyena every single day. Life is precious. You got only one life, and you might as well give a good crack at it. And if you're going to give a good crack at it, love people. It's not that hard. You got to know how to love people. Can I quickly go through the next scripture right at this moment? Pure love has no hidden agendas or motives. Can I have the book of John chapter 15 verse 7? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. No hidden agendas, no motives. People come and say to me, Pastor H, is there something that I need to know? Have you seen something? No, I just want to spend some time with you. That's all. I just want to talk. I just want to have a chat. That's it. That's it. There's no hidden agenda. That's it. No hidden motive. So if you're going to say to each other in this church, I want to know and I want to love each other, don't have any hidden agendas. Just come out straight. I just want to know you, who you are, what you are, and what you stand for. Next one, pure love builds relationship. Can I have 1 John chapter 4 verse 8? He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you're saying to me, I know God, but then if I tell you, please love Carol and please love Kev, and then I'll say, I can't. I can't. Then I will say, then you do not know God. Have you ever realized how powerful this scripture is? This scripture is very clear. It says here, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if you love people, you know God. If you do not love, you do not know really the heart of God. Last point, I'm going to finish this right at this time. A challenge to love each other. Can I have the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 19? 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. All I'm asking, we're in a new journey. 2020, we're about to enter in. And God is going to do some powerful things. Next year, Pastor Lian is threatening me that I will have a mobile phone. Looks like I will bring in the front. Because one of the things is we are hoping and praying. Please pray by January, February. I do not know. I'm hoping, praying by January, February, we'll pour the concrete on the ground. And so one of the things I want to do is I will put my hard hat, Wellington boots, and I'll go down there. So Pastor Leanne said to me, how can I contact you? And I said, I don't know. Maybe send a pigeon. She says that they're unreliable. So she said, I'm going to buy a Samsung phone for you right now. And so, you know, by then you'll have my mobile phone. All of you guys can call. But once the building, 12 months, once the building has been built, I'll burn the mobile phone in a fire. So, next year, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be a wonderful time, what God is going to do. So can I have all eyes closed? All head is bowed. And I'm going to call people. If I can get the worship team, if I can get Cody to sing that song, I'm not throwing Cody under the bus right now. Come baptize me. The song that yesterday we sang in the evening. If I have that song, son, I won't. If there's anyone who's sitting over here, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you are here for the first time, and you are telling, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And if you have done this once, twice, thrice, four times, five times, you don't have to do this again and again and again. You only have to do only once, okay? And so if there's anyone sitting here, Jesus came around about 2,000 years ago, walked on the face of the earth for 33 years. On the 33rd year of his life, he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And then 3 days later, he rose up from the death. And then he ministers to each one of us. Now he's no longer with us, and he's gone to be with the Father. Sits on the right hand side of the Father, intercedes for you and I. Today the Holy Spirit is here. And if you are here today and you are saying, I want Jesus for the first time, all you have to do is raise up your left hand, your right hand. Thank you, sir. One hand. Thank you, sir. One hand. Two hands has gone up. Yesterday evening, just to let Pastor Leanne know, two brand new hands went up yesterday evening. Two hands has gone up. You guys can put the two hands down.